Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on economic meltdown when we come back. You know, when the federal income tax was launched back in 1913, the tax was levied only upon the super wealthy, the richest one-half of 1% of the American population, with a top tax rate of only 7%. Well, today, of course, the fears of the early opponents of that tax have been more than fully realized. By the end of Herbert Hoover's term, the top tax rate had jumped to 60%. And by the time Franklin D. Roosevelt was done, the top tax rate was over 90%, and the tax had been dramatically expanded to seize the incomes of the middle class for the first time. In 1913, the average family had to work until January 30th to earn enough to satisfy the tax man at every level. This year, the average American family will work through May 12th in order to earn enough to pay their federal, state, and local tax bills. Now, when you compare this to the plight of medieval serfs, says economist Daniel J. Mitchell, they only had to give the lord of the manor a third of their output, and they were considered slaves. So what does that make us? The income tax and Social Security tax violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Old Covenant, including our English common law. And the income tax and Social Security tax are two criminal activities. The income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto. The Social Security tax is the eighth plank to the Communist Manifesto. And that's why I contend that you owe it to yourself to at least ask the question, do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? If you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call the law school at 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school, and it's entertaining, educational, informative, and it's free of charge. Now, tax and status is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to our webpage. It's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send an email request for your free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about economic meltdown, the coming breakdown of the world's economic system. It's not an accident when it's triggered. It's being done deliberately with premeditated forethought. It's a part of an overall game plan or a program to meld all of the nations of the world into a one world government. It is the culmination of an intent that goes back to the Tower of Babel. And when all of mankind was speaking the same language, had the same economic system, had the same king, had a one-world government, God came down on the scene and confounded their language and scattered them over the face of the earth. You read that in Genesis chapter 11. It's called the Tower of Babel or Babel. And from that day to this, mankind has been working in one vein or another to amalgamate all of the races, all of the nations, all of the people of earth into a one-world government. It is a satanic plan. It is a plan authored by Satan himself. And we're just about to embark upon this new adventure, one-world government. George Bush called it the New World Order. And it's being promoted by the United Nations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberger Organization, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Club of Rome, and a whole host and plethora of other lesser think tank organizations around the world. It's a done deal. You don't need to be concerned about voting for this guy or that guy to prevent it. The Republicans are for it. The Democrats are for it. The Communists are for it. The Socialists are for it. The Nazis, the Fascists, everybody in the world is for it. Everybody wants it. So if you're the fellow that's down the street and says, God help us, you know, from this New World Order, I mean, you're some kind of a rabid right-wing reactionary radical minority, probably a terrorist that needs to be watched and probably incarcerated or something done with you. Now, there's a handful of people out here that probably are opposed to the New World Order. I don't know how many there are, 1 million, 5 million, 10 million, hell, there might be 20 or 30 million that probably aren't in favor of, but they're not organized and they're not going to change anything. And furthermore, Bible prophecy tells us that we're going to have a New World Order, a one world government, for 1 hour, just a short period of time. If you want to know how long an hour is, if you take a look in Bible prophecy, you'll find the word hour and the word day. You'll see that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. So a millennium and a day are used interchangeably in Bible prophecy depending upon the context. And then the term 1 hour is used. Are there not 12 hours in a day? And then there's 12 hours in a night, 24 hours in the whole day and night cycle. And in Revelation 17:12, it talks about this one world government, this new world order, is going to actually succeed for a short period of time, 1 hour. I don't know if that's, you know, a day is equal to a year, so 1 hour is about 1/24 of a year, or about 2 weeks. Very short period of time. I don't know if it's 2 weeks, 2 months, or 6 months, but God uses that term 1 hour to describe a very short period of time in which a nightmare that Jesus said, you know, you want to take a listen to good old Jesus here. In Matthew 24, he said, there's never been a time like it, and there will never be a time like it again. He said, he likened it to Noah's flood, and he went a step further. He said, it'll be the worst disaster to befall humankind, including Noah's flood. Now, I would have been satisfied if he'd have said since Noah's flood, but he said even Noah's flood isn't going to compare to the suffering and the anguish that's coming upon the whole human family. Now, a lot of times people will write me letters and say, I don't believe that God would do that to us. Well, it isn't so much that God is doing it to us as it is that we're doing it to ourselves. And so he used a term one time I thought was kind of apropos. He said, you will be reformed by your own actions. So just look up the word reformed in a concordance and chase it out in the Bible, and you can get the context and you can look it up for yourself. It's the way you code plead the scripture. Code plead it just like you do if you're code pleading any other form of law, whether it's state law or federal law. Yeah, he said we would be reformed. And if you take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, remember that's when our forefathers decided that they wanted a king rather than God to rule over them. Yeah, they said they wanted a king. And God said, that'll be a mistake, and you'll cry out to me in that day. That we're just about there. Just about there. I get letters in here and emails and phone calls all the time from, oh, some guy will call me from Michigan. He'll say, this is the People's Republic of Michigan. Or they'll call me from California. This is the People's Republic of California. As if the people in Michigan believe that the tyranny that they suffer there is worse than the tyranny that they suffer in California, Washington, Oregon, or Florida. That's assuming, of course, that you see this modern government here as tyrannical. Most people don't. They see it as benevolent, kinder, and gentler. Something that's really good and righteous and holy and God-ordained. But there's a few out there that are suffering, and they say, oh my God, you know, look what's coming down on us. Well, God told us, he said, you'll cry out to me in that day, and I won't hear you. So I always tell my students, you know, if you want to pray to Jesus, go ahead, but he already told you that he wouldn't listen to it. So I think you're just wasting your time and beating your gums for no good purpose, but then if that makes you feel good, get after it. Now, I've been covering the economic meltdown from the perspective of the International Forecaster, which is published by Bob Chapman. If you'd like to get a copy, I'm sure he'd send you a sample copy. And I like to subscribe to it online because every Saturday our computer man, Dirk, he comes down here and pushes the buttons, and there it is, and it's printed out. It's about 30, sometimes 40 pages. I've seen as many as 50 pages in his reports. It comes out every week, 52 issues a year. But you can write to him at P.O. Box 510-518. That's 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida, P-U-N-T-A-G-O-R-D-A, Florida, 33951-0518. Or you've got an email address here, internationalforecaster@yahoo.com, internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. The website is called www.theinternationalforecaster, all one word, theinternationalforecaster.com. Robert Chapman is the guy's name. I put him right at the top of the list. It's probably the biggest and most all-encompassing, comprehensive reports, not the only one. There's many of them out there, and I subscribe to a number, and I recommend the Privateer because the Privateer, remember, is the comes out twice a month, and it's more basic. This guy Chapman over here, now this guy's old and full of years, and he doesn't explain every term that he uses here, like NSA. You need to know that that's the National Security Agency or Echelon Operation, whereas the guy down in Australia, he's more basic, and he explains terms and conditions. I mean, it's like economics 101. So if you're kind of new to this underground newsletter program, you might want to consider the Privateer, written by Bill Buckley. And you can get them online. It's theprivateer.com. Theprivateer.com. Well, Senator Lindsey Graham, he's a Republican from South Carolina, has suggested to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez a new target for the administration's domestic operations, targeting fifth columnists. We did this back in the 50s, targeting communists. These are called fifth columnists. Those are the people who are disloyal Americans. Those are Americans who sympathize or collaborate with the enemy, Graham said. The administration has not only the right, but the duty, in my opinion, to pursue fifth column movements. And I do not think you need a warrant to do that. You got that? Here's Lindsey Graham. And he says, I don't think you need a warrant to do that. Well, excuse me, if you don't have a warrant to go after fifth columnists, then I guess you don't need a warrant to go after anybody, do you? And that's what we learned back in the Joe McCarthy era, wasn't it? That you get an overzealous senator or police agency here, and of course they mean well. They're just here to protect America. And if we have to violate some constitutional rights of people to protect America, it's well worth it. Unfortunately, if you carry that to its ultimate extreme, all you have is a tyranny like Russia and China, or a Hitlerian Germany. You know, if that's what Americans want, well, you know, it's just a short step. It doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to create a tyranny. Hell, we had that under King George. You had that under Hitler. You had it under Stalin. You've got it under the Chinese today. You got it under this guy, Robert Mugabe, or Mugabe in Rhodesia. They call it Zimbabwe today. So Lindsey Graham says, I don't think we need a warrant to check up on these fifth columnists. AG, that's the Attorney General Gonzalez, said, the president already said we'd be happy to listen to your ideas. This is the same Graham who is sponsoring trade legislation and tariffs against Japan. You have to know now that legislation is phony, in as much as these latest pronouncements would allow government to kidnap and imprison anyone who had anything negative to say about the government or the elitists who control our government. There's no question that the neocons and the elitists are behind Graham's plans. They want to stop anyone from disseminating information that is critical of what they do or what they intend to do. They want to snuff out insufficiently loyal Americans, those who expose what the elitists are up to. These news informers cannot be allowed to tell the public the truth. Well, a lot of times people will say to me, hey, aren't you afraid that the government's going to lock you up? No, I'm not really afraid of that. I'm not going to be surprised when it happens. I've been locked up 30 or 40 times already, so it isn't something that's new or unique to me, per se. Now, the religious people, when you tell them that you've been locked up a time or two, they just kind of stare at you like, oh, my God. I remember one time I was in jail, and this little group of people came through. I don't know if it was the Ladies' Tea Club of Mansfield, Missouri, or what, but anyway, they came through, and I said to this lady, I said, lady, I've got a writ of habeas corpus here. Would you mail this to my wife? And she looked at me in horror, and she ran by my cell like she was going to get AIDS, herpes, or VD from me if she paused there for a second. Rest assured, she didn't take my habeas corpus. And these religious people, Christians, all of them, wonderful people, the kind of people you'd like to have next door, that absolutely loathe people like me who are locked up in jail. But I would like to point out to you that Jesus of Nazareth not only was locked up, but he was executed for treason. And all 12 of the 12 disciples were all locked up. The Apostle Paul from time to time would complain. He'd say, you know, I've been in prison many times. Ezekiel was sent to a concentration camp. Jeremiah was arrested and jailed and thrown into a slime pit. And Elijah, they sent a SWAT team out to get him three times. Ever heard that story about Elijah? Yeah, old Elijah. I mean, this guy had gonads between his legs the size of grapefruit. And one day, he was surrounded by a SWAT team, and they were going to take him. 50 guys came out there, going to take him to the king. And the queen, her name was Jezebel, she said she would not eat until he was dead. D-E-D, dead on arrival. I don't think Jezebel liked Elijah. Ahab, I don't think, cared too much for him, but he wasn't so mean that he wanted to kill him. But Jezebel, she didn't like him. She wanted him dead. Well, anyway, the SWAT team came out, and a bolt of lightning came down out of the sky and consumed 49 of the 50 SWAT team members. Could you picture this today? Can you picture this today? A bolt of lightning comes down, kills 50 members of the SWAT team. My God, talk about terrorist backlash. So the one guy that was left alive, he went back and reported to the king, well, this guy Elijah and his followers, his cult, attacked us from ambush and killed all of us. Kind of like that, kind of like the government gives you a report and says, oh, my God, these guys are really, really bad terrorists. So they sent out another SWAT team. And no doubt they had orders to bring him back dead or alive. Another bolt of lightning came down out of the sky and consumed 49 of them. Funny how God can't kill all 50. You ever notice that? Weak, ineffectual fellow that he is. But he got 49 of them. And so one of them went back to the king and said, well, Elijah attacked us again from ambush, and his cult followers, you know, murdered the thin blue line over here. So they sent a third SWAT team out. Third SWAT team comes out there, and the lieutenant comes up to Elijah, and he says, now listen, be patient with me. And don't consume us like you did the other two SWAT teams with your cult following. And then he said, I'm caught between a rock and a hard spot. If I don't come back with you, the king is going to kill me. And if I mess with you, your God is going to kill me. So Big Mike says to Elijah, he says, hey, do you think we got this jerk's attention? How would you feel if you were Elijah and the governor of your state had sent out a SWAT team to take you in, and God had killed all but one member of it twice. You know, irrespective of the number, 10 guys, 5 guys, 50 guys. Do you think that you'd be feeling very good right about that point in time? And Big Mike said to Elijah, now you go in with this SWAT team. I got a message to deliver. I want you to go in to Jezebel and Ahab, and I want you to deliver this message for me. And the message I want you to deliver is, the dogs will lick your blood out of the dust before sunrise. Now, Elijah didn't kill those 98 men. He was just an agent doing what he was told. But 98 government agents here, 98 FBI guys, 98 BATF guys, or whoever these guys were, sent out by Ahab and Jezebel, are dead. D-E-D. Dead on arrival. And Elijah now is you know, you'd think this guy should be riding pretty high. You know, if I was sitting in Elijah's shoes, and Big Mike said to me, now I want you to go with these guys, the FBI guys, and I want you to deliver this message to George Bush and company, George and Dick. God, I think I just about pooped my pants. Boy, you talk about a tough message. You talk about a tough assignment. If that don't scare the living hell out of you, nothing will. I mean, you'd have to be a Rambo. Well, anyway, old Elijah went in. He delivered the message, and he walked out of there. The Bible doesn't tell you what the details were, but he walked out of there, and before sunrise, Jezebel and Ahab were both dead, and the dogs were licking their blood out of the dust. Just exactly like God told him it was going to work out, and so Elijah split and left the scene. Now, the reason I brought that up is because Bob Chapman mentions here in this newsletter, he said, you know, day is coming. And he says, this is why KBR Halliburton was awarded another no-bid contract for $385 million to construct detention centers throughout the United States. They're not an emergency influx or immigrants that they are to detain you if you say one thing against George and the neocons. It's the New World Order. We originally thought the centers would be used for you and us when martial law was declared. But with this statement by Senator Graham, we believe that as soon as they are completed, probably in a year or so, they will start collecting unpatriotic citizens who have anything negative to say about our government or the elitists. There will also be an additional roundup after the elitists stage the next 9/11 type event. So evidently, Bob Chapman thinks that the 9/11 event was staged by government. You know, that isn't too far-fetched. In 1933, February of 1933, Hitler and the Nazis burned the Reichstag building. You know, they attacked what we would call our Capitol building today and burned it. And then they turned around and said, my God, we're faced with terrorists and communists and unionists and all kinds of other bad guys over here. We've got a state of emergency over here, and I've got to have these executive powers. That's the way Hitler did. Same thing George Bush is doing today. George Bush just took a page right out of Adolf Hitler's book. Got a war on terrorism. Hitler had a war on communists and unionists. And governments do that when, especially when there's trouble afoot. See, when there's economic trouble afoot, and by God, in 1933 now, there's lots of trouble afoot, lots of economic trouble. And we got lots of economic trouble afoot now. So to keep your mind off of the economy and economics, we've got your mind focused on Iraq. Every night on the news, Iraq, 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 Iraq. Iraq's not your problem, boys and girls. It's the takeover and the destruction. Takeover of your nation and the destruction of your constitution and your way of life. The terrorists have succeeded in doing more to destroy your God-given rights. And they haven't done anything. I mean, they killed 3,000 people here on 9/11 in those two or three attacks. 3,000 people. Hell, that was accomplished at Pearl Harbor, for crying out loud. And so now you've got this war on terror. You haven't got any country to fight. You don't have any soldiers to fight, but you're spending... Oh, my God, it's pushing $500 billion, $500 billion right now, the cost of this 9/11. And that 9/11 hit was about a $1 trillion hit. And here's Chapman comes along and says, hey, I think they're going to stage another thing just about like it, like a dirty bomb in Chicago or New York or someplace. And when they do that dirty bomb trick over there, you know, then the president will say, oh, my God, now look at the powers I've got to have. It should also be noted that a year ago, a revision was made in the Army's labor program that provides a template for developing agreements between the Army and corrections facilities for the use of inmate labor programs and civilian prison camps on Army installations. Now, when Hitler did that, when he took civilians in, arrested them, and put them to work in the government's, the German government's, they did it with those missile program and underground aircraft factories, they called that slave labor. Well, here, the United States Congress has already enacted the legislation. Halliburton is building the confinement camps. And listen, Bob Chapman's got a little bit more to say about this. He says, the document has recently been posted, which is not a coincidence in light of Graham's statements. There is an urgency for these camps to be constructed, and that's why it is referenced rapid action revision. George Bush isn't playing games with you people now. This is rapid action revision. And Kellogg Brown and Root's contract contemplation of rapid development of new programs have startled some with its said need for urgency. This is right in line with the Bush neocon policies to involve the Pentagon, Army, in counterterrorism operations inside the United States. And you're going to have martial law here before very much longer. Yeah, see, when you get this dirty bomb over here, then the president will have the excuse that he needs to declare martial law. Now, see, the British never did this. They were fighting the IRA terrorists for years and years. And the IRA terrorists were setting off bombs all over the place for years and years. But they never declared martial law. They didn't declare war on terrorism. They didn't take all the people's rights away from them, create a National Homeland Security and Patriot Act. And in the final analysis, it all went away. And in the final analysis, this will go away too, but not before we go into national captivity. And Bob Chapman says, you know, that he's one of the people, he believes that he's one of the guys that will be targeted because he's an outspoken critic of the government's policies, and he'll be locked up, and he could well be. I'm not saying that he won't. I don't know if he will or won't. I don't know if I will or won't, but, you know, oftentimes people will ask me, you know, if I'm afraid, and the answer is no, no. In fact, every single person in the Bible that had anything to do with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has been persecuted, has been jailed, or has been killed. Look at Joseph. You know, Joseph is probably the only man on planet Earth that turned down a piece of strange tale and went to prison for it, charged with a bum rape rap on top of it. And then the next thing, you come up to a guy by the name of Job. You know, here's old Job, you know, righteous. Just check out Job chapter 1 and 2. God himself said Job was righteous. And yet, look at all of the trouble that Job went through. And then there was Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And then there's Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Now, Isaiah got off pretty well scot-free, but Ezekiel went to a concentration camp, just like Bob Chapman's talking about here. And Jeremiah was arrested and tortured and thrown in a slime pit. That's part of the torture program. Jesus was murdered for treason at government request. And all of the apostles were jailed from time to time. And the apostle Paul was jailed. The only guy that I know of that died of old age was John on the island of Patmos. Hey, this is a tough business. When you come out here and you say, well, let me tell you what's really going on, it's a tough business. Prophets are not liked by anybody. They're not liked by the government that they're telling the truth about, and they're not liked by the people who the prophet is going to tell them about this government over here, because the people in the government are almost always in league with one another. In fact, old Elijah was out here one time, and they're kind of baiting in the Baal prophets, and there's 450 of them. And he made this statement in the presence of the people present. He said, if God be God, then you should worship God, and if Baal be God, then you should worship Baal. And we ought to have a little test here to see whether or not the God of Abraham is still alive and whether or not he's more powerful than Baal. And so they had a little test over there. When it was all said and done, the 450 Baal prophets ended up dead. And Elijah was the guy that was left standing alive, and that's what ticked off Jezebel so bad, and she wanted to kill Elijah because she was a Baal worshiper. So there's the story. So here's this guy, Bob Chapman. He's a prophet. Did you know that in the New Testament times, in the end times, that prophets would come? Yeah, prophets. Now, I don't think Chapman sees himself or Magombo or any of these guys that write these newsletters see themselves as being prophets, but you know, God said, surely the Eternal will do nothing but that he reveal his secrets to his prophets first. So the people, before God acts, are always told, okay, now guys, here's where the rubber meets the road. Now it's time to shape up or ship out. Now let me tell you what's coming down. And so these newsletter guys have been telling you now for about 30 years, now here's where we're headed, here's what's coming down, it's time for us to shape up. But Americans haven't done that, and I don't think you Canadians or Australians or New Zealanders or West Europeans, I don't think any of you people are really paying attention. And after all, you know, when you're eating three squares a day and you're living the life of Raleigh and you've got a martini in one hand and a Marlboro in the other, there's really nothing to get too excited about. But you know, one of these days, when the economy collapses and the banks are closed and you can't pay your bills and they're going to repossess your house and you're being drafted into the army and, you know, then all of a sudden reality is going to come to the fore. That's why I recommend that you read the penal clause statutes, the penal clause in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, so that you can get a feel for here's what's coming. Moses told us, here's what's coming. And so when I'm reading Bob Chapman's newsletter, you know, I'm just reading Bible prophecy. That's all. When I'm reading the Magombo guru, I'm just telling you that's what Moses told us was coming down. And Magombo and Bob Chapman and Don McElvaney and Franklin Sanders, they're simply reporting what was reported in the Bible 3,000 or 2,000 years ago. Here's what you should be looking for. Here's what you should be preparing for. Hang on, I got to give you a reminder. And that is that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Please be sure to order yours by calling the Law School and ordering it. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political or religious or economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not 100% endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review, well, at least in some cases. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org, or you can call direct, 417-273-4967. Economic meltdown. People will say, well, the government won't allow it. Well, the government's going to create it. The government's going to do it because it's necessary to bring about a crisis. And that's because people won't move. You know, people are kind of like cows. Cows stand there and chew their cud. They won't move until you spook them to get them moving. And then they'll herd up and they'll all move in the same direction. So you got to guide them. People are the same way. You can't get people to go to war in Iraq until you get a cause. You got to get something going. You can't get people to go to war against Japan until you can first beat the Japs into attacking Pearl Harbor. So you got to have a crisis. Now, a monetary crisis, when people are really, really scared or they're uptight or they're really ticked off or something like that, then you can come over here. Now you got their attention. Now you can sell them the program. And so it's about time to sell a new program. Now, if you read the polls, President Bush's popularity is 34, and Dick Cheney is 18. If you can believe that. I've never heard of anybody's popularity being down to 18. I mean, that's about as close as you can get to having your own family turn against you. Which, by the way, has already happened with me. My family already turned against me. I'm all out here by myself. But that just goes to show you how popular I am. I'm just a little bit less popular than Dick Cheney. But George Bush and Dick Cheney aren't too popular. I would venture a guess that probably in the next election, if there is a next election, see, at some point in time, the elections will be terminated. I mean, that's just the way dictatorships work. And if there is an election, then the election is rigged. And old Joe Stalin, you know, he's a pretty wise guy. I mean, he was about like Genghis Khan. I mean, he was a murderer and a killer, but a pretty wise guy. Joe Stalin made this observation one time. He said, it's not who votes that counts. It's who counts the votes that counts. As we saw in the 2000 election. And I suspect probably in the 2004 election. Now, there's a dictator down in Rhodesia, now called Zimbabwe, and this guy's name is Mugabe or Mugambi or something like that. Kind of reminds me of the Mugombo guru. Well, this guy's Mugabe or Mugabe or something like that. Anyway, he has elections down there. It's just that he always wins. And he intimidates anybody that runs against him. And he intimidates people that might go down there and vote for this other guy. And then just to make sure that the election comes out right, it's all his guys that count all the votes. And so when it's all said and done, it's this guy wins by about 98%. Kind of like the communists. They used to have elections there in communist Russia, you know, the old Soviet Union. And my God, they had about 90 to 95% of the people in the country voting. I guess they must have had a law that said if you don't vote, you don't eat. Something on that order. Well, people all went out there and they voted. Kind of like they do in Idaho when they vote for a judge. There's nobody running against him. It's just you vote for the judge to retain him or to reject him. And they're always retained. So we kind of have that program here in the United States. In spite of the Posse Comitatus Act going on here, Bob Chapman goes, in spite of the Posse Comitatus Act, the Defense Department has secretly been creating new agencies that gather and analyze intelligence within the United States, which is illegal. George and the administration are also moving to expand the power of the Pentagon's counterintelligence field activity. created 3 years ago to consolidate counterintelligence operations. It is being transformed into an office that has the authority to investigate crimes such as treason, terrorists, sabotage, and economic espionage. Did you know you already had that? That's your Defense Department. That's Donald Rumsfeld. Now, Mr. Chapman here, he calls George, you know, George. Actually, that's President Bush. This guy, President Bush, sits in the office of Moses. Did you know that? In fact, George Bush, when you trace his genealogy back to Adam and Eve, did you know you could do that? Yeah. You can actually trace George Bush's genealogy back to Adam and Eve. He, George Bush, is descended from the royal families of Europe. That's right, royal families of Europe. And every president of the United States, from George Washington to George Bush Jr., all trace their genealogy back to, get this, back to King David of Israel. Isn't that just special? I can't speak for you Canadians, Australians, and New Zealanders because I don't know that much about your politics or political leaders. But I think that the Davidic covenant covers your countries in the same way that it covers our country here. So there aren't any outsiders. And George Bush, here's the bright note, though, about George Bush, President Bush. In Deuteronomy 28, Moses gave us this prophecy. It's the highlight of my day. The king that we have elected, the king that we have set over us, when we go into national captivity, this king that we have set over us is going into national captivity with us. And I kind of suspect that when God tells us in Deuteronomy 28 that he's going to send a nation from afar, a nation whose language we don't understand, he says, the Lord shall bring a nation against you from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land, until you be destroyed, which also shall not leave you either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of your kine, or the flocks of your sheep, until he has destroyed you. And he shall besiege you in all of your gates until your high and fenced walls come down, wherein you trusted throughout all of your land. And he shall besiege you in all of your gates throughout all of your land, which the Eternal your God has given you. Then he goes on to verse 53, says you're going to be reduced to cannibalism. Cannibalism. You know, even in the siege of Stalingrad in World War II, the people of Stalingrad, the thousand-day siege, there were only 235 documented cases of cannibalism. They were eating bark off of trees, grass off the ground, and boiling old shoe leather. But only 235 cases of cannibalism. And he said that he is going to send our king, the king that we have elected over us, and send us into national captivity with our king. That's the bright spot. Our leaders are going to get it right along with us. Remember I mentioned Revelation 17:12. This is going to come about in about 1 hour, just a short period of time. And while all of this is coming together, Leviticus 26 says that we will become a byword among the nations. And they're going to say, how could such a great nation as this, the United States of America, can you picture this, destroyed and taken into national captivity? And suddenly, not over 25 or 50 years, suddenly, a week or 10 days. Well, the only way that could happen is if we are betrayed into destruction. Betrayed. A fifth column in our government that is going to open our borders to unrestricted immigration. And then we're going to turn our ports over to our enemies. Did you know the Port of Long Beach is operated by the Chinese Communist government? You know, if the Chinese can run Long Beach, I don't know why the Arabs can't run New York. Can you? The thought of turning our government, or of our government turning our seaports, like Long Beach, over to a government, the Communist Chinese government, sounds kind of bizarre. But that was a done deal, you know, many years ago. Did you know that the Chinese Communist government, through a corporation called the Hutchison Corporation, operates the Panama Canal? Now, here our God gave us the strategic gateways of the world. Strategic gateways of the world, which Panama was one of them. And then we gave the Panama Canal away. Gave it away? Hell, we paid them to take it! Can you believe it? And, of course, the Panamanians turned it over to the Chinese. So now you got the Chinese, your sworn enemies, running your Panama Canal, the lifeline between the east and west coast of America, and the Chinese communists entrenched in Long Beach, California. Long Beach Naval Shipyard, run by the communists. And now you've got an Arab outfit going to take over six of your ports. Now America isn't being destroyed by forces on the outside. We're being destroyed by forces within our country. And that's what happened to the Roman Empire. See, the Roman Empire was destroyed from within, not from without. And what you really have here is the God of Abraham who is destroying you. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is sending us into national captivity. Let me show you that. It's in Leviticus chapter 26, about verse 34. That's how to just blow your socks right off. So in case you're blaming George Bush and the communists or the fascists or the socialists or the Republicans or the Democrats or somebody else, now let's give a little respect to the guy that claims that he's doing it to you. It says in verse 31, this is Leviticus chapter 26, verse 31, he said, I'm going to make your cities waste. I'm going to bring your sanctuaries into desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. Well, let's take a look at Detroit. There's a good city that's been laid waste. Detroit, population 2 million back in the 50s, population 900,000 today. It's in what they call the Rust Belt. It's turned over to black. The whites have fled. All of the manufacturing and industry is moving out of Dodge. They're moving out of Detroit. One of our cities laid waste. New Orleans has just been laid waste, boys and girls. And there are Rust Belt cities all over America. And your manufacturing is being exported to China and India and Pakistan and the Philippines. And your jobs are being exported. We call this outsourcing. And the president was over in India the other day, and he said, there are forces in America that want to put up trade barriers. And they're opposed to outsourcing and free trade and globalization. Well, I got news for them. I'm opposed to that. Now, that's your president. Okay. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success, boys and girls, but it isn't the Russians that are destroying America. It's not the Chinese. They haven't lifted a finger yet. We're in the process of being destroyed by our own God. And we're being destroyed by our God for this reason. He says, I'm going to bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. Our enemies are going to be astonished at the desolation when they see it. And I'm going to scatter you among the heathen. That's deportation. And I will draw a sword. That's war after you. And your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy your Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate. And you be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy your Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. Have you ever heard of anybody practicing a land Sabbath in the United States? Well, if you want to know what the cause for national captivity is, it's Sabbath breaking. That's the fourth commandment. You know, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? It's one of the Ten Commandments. You probably never heard of this, but besides the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, before that came about, we practiced the Ten Commandments here in the United States. It's to be a part and parcel of our government. So I just thought I'd share that with you. Now, along comes Bob Chapman over here. He probably doesn't see himself as being a prophet, but what we're reading here in the Chapman report called the International Forecaster, which I highly recommend. It's an underground newsletter. Bob Chapman says, I'm probably going to be in the first wave of those that are rounded up and sent off to the concentration camps. I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't doubt it. But you know, for those that obey God and keep his commandments, like Daniel, when you lock that guy up and you throw him in a lion's den, that's the kiss of death. Because God's kind of unique. And whatever it was that you thought to do to one of his prophets is what he's going to do to you. So you want to tuck that one away in your heart. And they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into a fiery furnace, and they came out of the fiery furnace, and they were untouched. So you can't kill them. You couldn't kill Elijah with a baseball bat. And the guy just was impervious to all attacks. And even when supernatural events, it took a supernatural event to protect Elijah from two SWAT teams. Actually, three SWAT teams. The third team came in there, and they woke up to reality and said, you know, we're all dead men. You mess with this guy Elijah, you're messing with the God of Abraham. Now, there's a prophecy over here in Exodus chapter 23. I got to share this with you, because a lot of times people get kind of timid, you know. I'm not very brave. I'm kind of like Mogambo, you know. I'm a sniveling coward, but I get a little bit more between my legs when I read this. It says in verse 20, this is Exodus 23:20. It says, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place that I've prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Don't give him the finger. Provoke him not. For he will not pardon your transgressions, because my name is in him. He's an ambassador. My name is in him. It's kind of like Queen Elizabeth. You know, she sends her ambassador over to talk to President Bush. Her name is in the ambassador. The ambassador, you know, he gets the signatures and takes them back and forth across the Atlantic. Verse 22, he says, if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversary. Oh, I did like that one. When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, that was the kiss of death for Japan. And that's because of that statute right there. See, under the covenant with Abraham, see, we got three contracts. We got a contract with Abraham, we got a contract with Isaac, and a contract with Jacob. Three contracts. Then God came along, and he made a contract with our forefathers, separate from the original three contracts, which come under that statute right there. If you obey God, keep his commandments, and practice his law, anybody that messes with you is messing with God himself. It's kind of like the old mutual defense pact, you know, the NATO pact. And this is during the Cold War. See, the Russians knew that if they attacked one of the NATO countries, you know, they could attack France or Germany or England or somebody, they might as well drop a bomb right on Washington, D.C., because the Americans are going to be on you like flies on stink. Mutual defense pacts. That's what you have with God when you obey God and keep his commandments. Anybody messes with you is messing with God himself, and Big Mike has a duty to come in and protect you. America couldn't lose World War II. That's because we were protected under the terms of this contract. But I want to point out to you, that while the Germans can't destroy you, and while the Japanese cannot destroy you, the God of Abraham not only can destroy you, but I think he's going to use the Chinese to do it. Because it comes to an end, and he told you that in Deuteronomy 4. You know, Deuteronomy 4. He said, you will not prolong your days upon the land. He said, I'm going to eat your lunch. This is God himself. So on the one hand, nobody's going to mess with you because we got this contract. And so I always tell people, you know, so, well, I'm not looking forward to a concentration camp, but if you lock me up there, I think it'll be the kiss of death for you. Now, if you boys want to test it, you know, get after it. But you want to keep in mind that you weren't able to do it to Daniel, and you weren't able to do it to Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. And I'm not too sure you can get away with it doing it to George Gordon either. Now, I could be dead wrong, and maybe I'll get my comeuppance. But as long as I'm practicing the law over here, the trick is you got to get an Israelite to break the law so that our God destroys us. Don't try to do it on your own. Out of time again. We'll be back again tomorrow night with more on the International Forecaster and Economic Meltdown. But let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. Hey, I'm out of time. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course, so until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.